first reading opened up with us hearing the line, God put Abraham to the test. And very often as we hear that reading, it's a difficult reading, that there's certainly something very mysterious to it. But often our reaction to it is, Lord, why would you put Abraham to that kind of a test, asking him to give up even his own son, Isaac? And it's a question that has risen in our hearts ever since going back centuries and centuries and centuries, have heard this very reading. And we have people over the course of history like St. Augustine, more recently, kind of closer to our own time, C.S. Lewis, who in a beautiful way have wrestled with it. Why that test? C.S. Lewis, in some of his own writings around just the question of human suffering and pain and all of that, he asks this. He said, I'm concerned with the question, if God is omniscient, all-knowing, he must have known what Abraham would do without any kind of a test or experiment. Why then this needless torture? And I think C.S. Lewis captures what can often be our own reaction to that. Like, Lord, if you would have known, so why do it? But drawing from St. Augustine, here's what C.S. Lewis says. He says that whatever God knew, Abraham, at any rate, did not know that this obedience would endure such a command until the event itself taught him. So the point is this, that whatever the Lord could have imagined in his mind, like, I know what Abraham would do, and that's enough. Abraham didn't know that until the actual event. Like St. Augustine says, we can go through a whole lot of thought experiments. We can go through that kind of self-interrogation that we often do. Like, we can imagine Abraham saying, how much do I love God? How much do I trust him? And Abraham could imagine different scenarios, and he could imagine, you know what, like in all these different situations, I think I would do what God would ask me to do. But St. Augustine and C.S. Lewis, they say, you know, no matter what we might imagine in our mind that we would do, it's the actual moment when that choice is put before us. It's only there that our knowledge of the real depth of our commitment to God is actually really playing out. And so there's a difference between kind of the theoretical imagining, that kind of knowledge, and the actual event itself. And St. Augustine goes deeper into kind of, there's a whole lot of philosophy underneath of it. Like, is it the same that God would know something would happen in his mind versus the actual reality of it? And St. Augustine says, if that's the case, like, why did he even bother creating us? Like, if God could have imagined you, is the imagining of you the same as you actually existing? And Augustine says, nope. There's a huge difference between those. But like, it's in that direction that basically we have some of these great minds like Augustine, and again, more contemporary like C.S. Lewis, saying, we don't want to look at this simply as needless torture. There's something that God is doing in that very moment when Abraham is actually making a real life choice to prefer God over everything else. Now, having said all of that, that doesn't take away from the weight of that choice. This is huge, and this scene is still mysterious, it's still heavy, it's still dark. And we will only fully understand it and appreciate it in light of all that will later be revealed in the unfolding of the gospel, and most especially here on the cross. That when God says to Abraham, I want to give you a moment, a real event, a time right now in your life, concretely, when you can choose me. And even though Abraham maybe would have said, like, but Lord, you know my heart, like, you know what I would do. The Lord asks that of Abraham, but God himself, he abides by that same standard. And so when we would say to God, how much do you love us? The Lord doesn't say, well, look, I'm God, and so imagine in your mind the greatest way that I could possibly love you. And like, just run with that in your mind, like, that's how much I love you. He does not ask us to accept his love based on a thought experiment any more than he asked Abraham to say, like, show me your love by way of like a thought experiment. Abraham was asked for a concrete sacrifice. God, in showing us his love, abides by that same thing. And so he doesn't say, look, I'm God, you know that I love you, imagine that I would even give to you my own beloved son. He doesn't leave us to imagine it. He actually does it. He actually hands over, he gives us his son in the flesh to come and not just live among us, but to give up his life for us. And it's only there that there is, I think, maybe it's kind of sufficient light, perhaps barely, to shine on that scene from the book of Genesis. But the whole point is that this really dramatic, difficult, heavy scene that plays out for Abraham, we only kind of really appreciate it in light of what God does. Like, it's a real moment when God delivers his son for us. Now, in the second reading today, St. Paul, he doesn't see it in light of the heaviness of it. He sees it in terms of the incredible love. He says, brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not give us everything else besides? It's a beautiful kind of a logical unfolding. If God has loved us so much that he gave us his beloved son, his only son, if he's already given us the best, will he not give us everything else along with him? And of course, it's a rhetorical question, because the answer is, yes, he's going to give us everything else because he's already given us the best. This is the depth of God's love for us. And he is not afraid to make that declaration of love in the flesh, in a concrete moment in human history, through the very real sacrifice and death of his son. So what do we do with all of this? I think one thing that we want to pull out from it, just, and this is kind of a lighter application, but in these days of Lent, the very reason that you and I make real Lenten sacrifices is to put out into the flesh the reality of our love for God. Like, I could say, like, God knows I love him. Like, he doesn't need me to make any sacrifice to prove it. Like, he knows it. But the whole point of these readings is that there's a difference between me saying, I love God enough that he knows, like, whatever he would ask me, like, I would give him it. Like, he doesn't need me to, like, step out and, like, show it. Like, no, actually, I need to step out and show it. It's not enough for me to kind of go through the thought experiment. Like, how much would I give up for God? Lent is a time, in a very simple way, that you and I participate in the reality of what plays out in these readings. Just as for Abraham, it was significant, hugely significant, to actually make the real life choice to prefer God even over his own son. And in the same way that God the Father himself made that real choice that played out in human history to give up his own son, during Lent, I make real choices. And I don't let it just be a mind game. But in my flesh, I make the choice to sacrifice in certain ways to say to the Lord, I prefer you over this thing, food, drink, media, whatever the comfort is that I normally flee to. That is what we do during Lent. Now, it's a beautiful season to give us that chance to make those little sacrifices, but that has got to be seen in light of the whole of my relationship with God. And another way of understanding what plays out in the first reading and what happens on the cross is this, that God is asking Abraham to put skin into the game, that it not just be something in Abraham's mind where he says, Lord, you know that I love you. You know it already, and so you don't need to see it. And the Lord says, I'm inviting you, I'm asking you to actually put skin in the game. But he does not ask that of us without doing the same thing in the most dramatic way. So our Lenten sacrifices are little ways that we do that, but that can we have to see that in light of the big picture. We're asked to take our faith, our trust in God, our love for God, and make it visible, like to put skin in the game to the point where it's costly. And that's the big picture of the whole of our relationship with him. I can't go through my life and say, he knows how much I love him, and that's enough. I only live in the moment, in the concrete flesh of the life that God has given me, and it's got to be there that it plays out. And so the readings today give us a chance to look at the big picture of our relationship with God and ask ourselves, Lord, am I putting skin in the game? Like, a really obvious answer to the question is what I'm doing on Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. Mass making itself visible the whole rest of the week? I can't compartmentalize it. Like, I could say, God knows I love him because I'm showing up for Mass on Sunday morning, and the rest of the week he doesn't have to see it. No, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. There can't be the compartments that we build up. It has to be a whole seamless life where I've got that skin in the game. So where in your life is the Lord asking that of you? Where have you perhaps played the game and said, kind of knowing what you're really doing, he knows I love him, and therefore I don't actually have to make a real life choice for him? Where are the areas in your life where maybe you're letting it try to play out that way? Let's ask the Lord for that grace today as we keep moving deeper into Lent to make that real, so often difficult, like really hard choice for him, not just in the head, but in the real concrete reality of our daily life as we say, Lord, I trust you enough, I love you enough that I'm ready to step out and make that love real for you as your love is made real for me in the real historical death of your beloved son.